Today's reading is from Psalm 1, page 532 of your black Bibles. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruits in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are once more assembled in your name, and all of us are trying to concentrate and think about our spiritual journey and how, what we are doing really out of our lives. You know the hearts of minds of each one of us, our struggles, our difficulties, but we realize that the journey is long and you are there at our sides, holding us and giving us help when needed. Let us concentrate today on the message that will be given to us titled Spiritual Roots. Touch the heart of our pastor, bless him, and let the Holy Spirit direct his tongue while he is addressing this message to us. We hope that it will touch our minds and hearts so that it will become another experience for us to mature more into your knowledge and your message. In the name of Jesus, amen.
This morning at the adult class, or I should say the Sunday school class, we talked a little bit about the difference between a Christian and the world, or put it in a different way, the Christian in the world. And today, more than ever before, the Christians and the world are very difficult to separate. Today, more than ever before, it has become very difficult to tell who is a Christian and who is not. Not because we don't dress differently, not because we don't wear a certain kind of hats or clothing like our neighbors do around here. It's because the way we act and talk and sit and hang around and act as Christians. The first chapter of the book of Psalms presents two ways of life: the way of godly, righteous believers, and the way of ungodly. This is not something that people say, well, Christianity has come up with these ideas, or the conservatives are always talking about this, evangelicals are always strict, and they have put all kinds of names, or at least reasons why they don't agree. But this is in the Old Testament, and this is the first psalm in the book of Psalms. The writer contrasts these two ways of life to show the difference between the godly, true believers, and the ungodly. Now, you see, they wouldn't call them then born-again believers, evangelicals, or conservatives, or liberals, but there was a difference between the godly and the ungodly. And God was pleased with the godly and was not pleased with the ungodly. And the ways of the godly were different than were the ways of the ungodly. And the godly were blessed, and the ungodly may have had the impression that were blessed because they had money or wealth, and yet they were poor. The psalm begins with the words, "Blessed is the man." Blessed is translated from the Hebrew word ashar and means happiness, blessedness, and expresses the idea of the natural blessing that comes from right living, that is godly living. It's not blessed because you look at someone and you say, oh, he's blessed with children, he's blessed with a car, nice car, a house, he's blessed with a job, a good paying job. All these are, yes, good, and yet it meant much more than that. It does not necessarily mean a special miraculous blessing, but it is the normal result of a life lived for God. It is the normal result of living for God. In other words, those who fear God and do His will are blessed. Throughout the Bible, we see that God gives joy and blesses the obedient, even in the midst of trials, and allows sorrow to the disobedient. Now, sorrow does not mean necessarily to be poor. It does not mean necessarily to be sick. It means to be rich. It means to be healthy. It means to be everything that people want and yet be the most miserable and empty and discouraged person. God sees only two kinds of people in the world, the godly, righteous, and the ungodly. Those who have heard of Christ, His Son, and follow Him, and those who have rejected Him. Salvation is the first step of God's blessings. This is the message of the entire Bible. In Isaiah 12, verses 2 to 3, we read, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." So you see, the word salvation, the word being born again, the words that we use today are not new. We did not come up with these words. These are very biblical terms that were used in the Old Testament. To be saved, when the writer says, when Isaiah says salvation, he means to be saved from what? From something bad, from something terrible, from death, eternal death, to eternal life. So that's what salvation is. Salvation is someone who is drowning in a lake or in the sea, and no one is there to help until someone appears, and this person says, "Please help." And this other person out here throws a life-saving something, a rope or whatever, and pulls out that person. That person says, "He is my Savior. He has saved my life." Well, that rope was Jesus. We came and died and became our salvation. When the psalmist speaks of the blessed man, he assumes that salvation has already taken place. When the psalmist speaks, he already assumes that he is a born-again believer. He is someone who has accepted God, who has accepted His ways. And as I say, when someone comes to be baptized, baptism does not save. I assume that you are born-again believer already, so you are asking to be baptized. That's what a believer's baptism is all about. This is very clear in the New Testament. Believers are blessed with spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3, we read, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord for all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Once again, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, is something that I cherish and I believe is wonderful verse to remember. Everyone, not only some, not only some predetermined ones, and I know that's a big doctrinal divide, if you wish, split, and some say that, but I only repeat what the Bible says. I don't care what the majority says. And if you feel very, if you feel that you are very comfortable among the majority, time is to be reformed, someone quoted the other day. And I believe that many of us would rather follow the majority opinion, the majority statement, than just investigate the Bible, read the Bible, ask God to help us, and allow the Holy Spirit to interpret His word in our hearts. Revelation 22, verses 7 and 14. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. But many Christians do not have the joy of their salvation, and often they don't feel that they are blessed. Why? Why is it that there are so many Christians walk around and live as if they are about to be killed or about to be whatever? They just have lost every reason to be happy, they feel. Because they are not connected to the living water of life. And I keep repeating this, connected, connected, connected. That is a word that we should always remember. We must be connected to the source of life. We must remain connected to the source of the living water. Unless you turn the tap on, you can't get water. You may be connected. You may have the best plumbing in the world. You may have the best golden faucets. You may have the best reservoirs out there. But unless you turn on the faucet, the valve, you will not have that water of life. The Christian life is compared to a walk. It begins with a step of faith in trusting Christ. As we take further steps of faith in obedience to His word, He helps us continue with our journey of life. Walking involves progress, and Christians are to make progress in applying Bible truth in their daily life and walk away from the corrupt ways of darkness. Believers must not remain or walk in darkness. These are words that we should all remember. Believers cannot remain and walk in darkness. They can be a light in darkness. They can reflect the light that comes from God in darkness and yet not be darkness. But is it possible for the believer to walk in darkness, someone may say, outside the will of God? Well, in John 1, verses 6 and 7, we read, if we claim to have fellowship with Him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. These are not my words. These are not some theologian's words. These are what the Bible says. These are words from the Bible. The person God blesses is a careful is careful in his walk. Though he is in the world, in his daily contacts. He is not of the world in his conduct. One is contacts, the other one is conduct. There are dangers on the way. Verse 1 speaks progressively of association with the ungodly and participation in their ungodly ways. Many Christians will say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again believer, I go to church, I do all these good things, but yet again, I'm just going to this party, I'm going to this club because my friends have invited me, I may have an opportunity to speak to them about God, and obviously you cannot have an opportunity to speak about God in a saloon or in a strip club or whatever. You are too preoccupied with the things that this world offers. There are dangers on the way. The triple danger, or danger in three stages, is described next. First, walking in the company of ungodly, this portion says, go along with, follow their ways. That's what it means. It means go along with or follow their ways. The ungodly always are ready to give advice or argue. Have you had this experience? You tell an unbeliever that you are going to church because, and he is going to say, oh, come on, they are full of hypocrites, and they will give you many reasons why you shouldn't go to church. Then you tell an unbeliever that you're reading the Bible, he will come up with hundreds of arguments why you shouldn't take everything seriously, and he will give you his opinion, why not. This may be in the form of literature. Now, literature, yes, we give out tracts. And if someone would take literally what I'm just saying, they wouldn't read this literature. And yet those who take the literature, all they are presented with is the Bible. And not some man-made formulas. But there are those who will come out and distribute tracts and literature for clubs, for whatever, or different doctrines. The cults are very good in doing that. And you must be careful what you read. And whatever you read, whatever literature is given to you, even religious, you should sort of measure it with the Word of God and see whether it's the Bible will support that message. This may be in the form of advertising. Now, advertising is something that works. Believe it or not, you're watching television, the news, and all of a sudden, after 10 minutes or 8 minutes, it stops. And then you have this lady with a chocolate bar or some power drink drinking, and you say, I better have something. And you go to the fridge or just reach to your bag of chips or something. And it works. And the same thing is in the religious world. People are offering things that may taste well and may sound good and may trigger some good feelings. And yet, you must be careful what you are reaching out to. This may be in the form of entertainment. And entertainment is something that often we cannot avoid because entertainment is what keeps us to wind down or to feel good. And entertainment sometimes takes the place or replaces our family relationship. Men are so preoccupied with their sports or their hunting or whatever, and their wives are complaining. Their children never see their father. Mothers are so preoccupied with other things that keeps them so busy that their husbands don't see them often, or the children don't have a mother to look after them. And the church never sees them or rarely sees them because they are so busy. And all these things are things that the writer of the psalm had in mind. First, I said, was walking in the company of ungodly. Second, standing in the way of sinners. Attracted by what the ungodly do or practice, We just stand there and watch. Stop and stand there enjoying what is happening. Hanging or hang around them. And again, it happens very often. We're not participating with their jokes. There may be a group of people with that are sharing some off-color jokes and whatever, or watching something, and we're just watching and we just stick around with them. Well, the same thing happened to Peter. You remember that Peter was following Jesus. Peter loved Jesus very much. And Peter actually, unlike the other disciples, followed from far Jesus. And when Jesus was taken in to be persecuted, if you wish, or questioned, Peter was there waiting. And yet he did a few mistakes. One, he went and started warming himself, or he walked toward the sinners, those who had picked up Jesus to kill him. And he then eventually felt comfortable enough, warm enough, and he stood there and started warming himself near the fire. And that's what was the second step he took. He was standing there with them. Spend time with the wrong crowd is what the psalmist is warning us about. The third thing that happens is sitting down with mockers to enjoy the short-lived pleasures of sin. In other words, settle down and enjoy corrupt ways of the world. Do you see the progression? Walking into the situations, or hang around people with who will tempt you or bring you down to their level, and then stand with them to enjoy their simple ways or deeds, and finally sit down with them and join them in their activities. Peter is a good example, as I mentioned. Watch out for these dangers. But the person who follows Christ is delighted, happy to follow him, and enjoys the new life. This new life, to some, it is boring. It's very boring to someone who wants a lot of activities. As a matter of fact, our church is very boring to the people who come once and they don't see all kinds of musical numbers and some dancing on the pulpit here and the pastor being more excitable, and they don't see a lot of shouting. And they say, well, you know, you Baptists are very boring and leave. Now, you can imagine an unbeliever who comes into a church and listens for a while. They find this very boring. To some, it is dull. But to him or her, it is delightful. To some, it is fantasy. But to him or her, it is real. To some, it is information. But to him or her, it is inspiration, the Word of God. To many, God and His Word are not their delight. Don't believe in Him. They don't care. The world is their delight with its short-lived pleasures. But you must move against the tide to enjoy and delight in God's blessings in your spiritual life and walk. You must accept that you will be in the minority. And then see what the results are. The Christian is here compared to a tree that gets its water from the deep, hidden springs under the dry sand. A true believer of Christ must not walk, stand, and sit, settle down in this lifeless desert. This world is a desert that can never satisfy the dedicated believer. He or she must send his or her spiritual roots down deep into God's Word and draw up spiritual water of life. There is a way a Christian must not walk, a path he or she must not stand in, and a seat he or she must not sit in. Unless the Christian spends time daily in prayer and the Word, and allows the Spirit to fill him, wither and die. As far as usefulness is concerned, the believer is like a tree planted by the river's water. What a beautiful illustration. The tree reaches down and down its roots into the stream. The river represents the Holy Spirit. And when I was putting down that, I remembered some of my plants, and I love plants. My house is full of plants and little trees that I start from seeds. And I have this plant, for example, sitting in a bigger pot, and I water, and yet I don't water it enough. Or sometimes I watered it much than needed, and that water has gone through the pot into the other bigger pot, and there is water now left underneath. And the pot is dry on top, and yet the plant is doing well. I lift up the pot, and I see roots already out of the little holes into the water, and that's what keeps them growing. It's not what I do. It's what the roots have done and reached out of the holes into the water and are alive and growing. That's how Christians are. Even though we may be surrounded by evil things, in this evil world, or corrupt world, I should say, but still there are enough openings and there are enough opportunities for us to reach into the living water and our spiritual roots be connected to the living water. Galatians 5:22, we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." You see, the whole concept of a Christian is that we are different. We must be different. We must not be plastic plants, as I always say. We must be living and fruit-giving, producing plants or trees. The Christian believers whose roots are connected to spiritual waters of life will be fruitful and successful in their spiritual life and walk. May God bless us to understand His message and then send our spiritual roots into the living waters of Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit help us do that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for providing us enough water and for helping us grow roots in your word. That is, if we want to. This morning, my prayer is that we may understand the need to grow spiritually and to become fruitful. Help each one of us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.